Mark chapter 11. God's awesome. God's awesome. Amen. Thank God for Unified Church. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage of Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought their colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David. He that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The thought for what I'm going to preach today is in verse number 2, where he says, and saith unto them, go your way into the village. I'm going to preach today when your way is God's way. When your way is God's way. Father, glorify thyself. Allow yourself to be seen as you really are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. As I mentioned, just a few simple thoughts today that I believe will be a strength as we look into the scripture today. Of course, salvation comes by turning from your own way to the way. Salvation is very simple. The Bible says, behold, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The reason there's so many different religions, because man decides his own way of salvation, his own way of being saved or preserved from the life or circumstances here. But there's only one way, it's Jesus Christ. You must go through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not even faith in your prayer, but faith in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said, for the heart, man believeth in the righteousness. Because you can say a prayer without actually having faith in Christ, because you saw somebody else do it. But salvation comes by a heart believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has some disciples here, and he needs them to do something. Anybody desire to be a disciple here today? Anybody desire to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? About three people, but praise God. So if you do, God has something for you to do. But you can't do it your way, and I can't do it my way. But when your way becomes his way, we'll see some things that actually happen in a way that God would like them to. First thing I want you to notice, number one, is that when your way is God's way, you will receive direction from the voice of God. You will receive direction from the voice of God. Jesus obviously here, now he's physically present with his disciples, but the application is when you stay in the presence of the Lord, God will direct you. And because they're able to hear directly from God himself, go your way into the village over against you. They were able to receive instruction directly from God because they're in his presence. There's nothing more powerful in your life than being able to know what God has told you to do. Because you can follow what somebody else has told you to do. And you can follow what even you think you want to do in the name of God. But unless you hear from him, there won't be any peace to follow with it. Follow it. You know, you can take the Bible as a child of God, and you can mold it to mean something that you want it to mean. And you can justify the things that you want to do. And you know what? You won't have any peace with that, because you can't have any fruit from that. Because really, you're reigning. You've taken the word of God to try to establish your own will. But when you walk with God in the presence of God, you actually get his own way and you hear from him. And when you go into a trial, into a circumstance, into a situation, you will be able to know authoritatively, not because it's your belief, but because what you're trusting in is the literal living God of heaven. And you know what the difference of that is? Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know how I know what a real Bible conviction for myself? And what is my conviction? The things I get mad about. Because if I get mad about it, that means I'm not sure about it. But when I'm resting in the authority of the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that don't bother me because it's based on him. I don't have to be upset about that. In fact, there's a heartbrokenness, you know, that is concerned because someone would even be against the word of God, against the scriptures. You know, I find the more I've examined my faith through these past few years, I'm not as touchy about things that I used to be because I'm, by God purging me and causing me to repent in several areas, I hear his voice about certain things, and I'm able to practice and believe the things that what thus saith the Lord and not be bothered if somebody else doesn't. I can be saddened that they don't. But then when your direction comes from God, it changes absolutely everything about you. Matthew chapter 7. In fact, we can have that direction. The Bible tells us that. Matthew chapter 7. We'll be back here in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. I want you to notice what the word of God says here. Ask, and it should be given you. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Ask, and it might be given you. Ask, and it hopefully shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be open. You know, we said, well, I've asked and I've not heard before. Have you really asked him, though? You know. I remember as a child, I'd ask my parents permission to do something sometimes. And generally, when you ask permission, you're really, technically speaking, you're subjecting yourself to their authority. But many times, I wasn't really asking them. I was asking what I wanted. and I really didn't care about their opinion. I really didn't care what they thought about the matter. I just wanted to do something without getting beat. Amen. Anybody know about that old school religion? I just wanted to, and without having my mother lecturing me. So I did really care about her opinion about something. And I didn't really care if she agreed. I didn't care if she thought that what I was going to do was a good idea or a bad idea. I went through her for the sole purpose that if I did not go through her, my life would be difficult. And that's not the way God wants it. God wants us, when we really ask him, it's Abba Father. Father, if I need this for you, I want this for you. Father, is this your will? Father, may I do this? How can it? Father, help me. And he will help you because he wants you. He's a good father. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Those verses you ought to meditate on. We're going to ask and it shall be given you. Because we have to determine if we're actually asking God or commanding God. And we're expecting God. Because really, when I'm praying, I ask, what if God says no? And what if God doesn't answer? When you get ready to pray, do you honestly believe that God knows more about the situation than you do? And we must do that. But when our way is his way, we receive direction from the voice of God. Familiar verse here, James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. You've heard me give my illustration. Tell me about the watermelon before. I can remember being in a store and I asked God, would you lead me to a good watermelon? And I took one home and it was rotten. And before that, I had a total streak. They were all good. My daughter said, did you pray about it? I said, yeah, I did. She's like, what? But you know, God taught me a little simple truth there. I've been praying that God would lead me to a good watermelon. But I never waited for him to answer. And the way I pray now is really the way that is really a good example of how we pray, which is really probably not the best way to pray. I say, Lord, make my choice a good choice. But that's the way we live our life, isn't it? I want a watermelon, and so, Lord, would you make the one I pick a good one? Instead of saying, because if I say, Lord, lead me to a watermelon, that means I have to wait for him to answer. But we say, Lord, I want that car. Make that car a good car. I want that house. Make that house a good house. I want that relationship. Make that relationship a good relationship. I want that job. Make that job a good job. I want that whatever. Make that whatever a good whatever. Instead of saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because end of the day, you know how much our opinion in a matter really, how much weight our opinion really matters? How much? Zero. Amen. Now, it's hard for us to take that. Now we can say to church because we know it's right. Amen. but does God have more wisdom than we have? Is God wiser than we are? So who should make the choice? God. And so he shows us his choice, and we can submit and embrace his choice or not. And if we embrace his choice, then there's some blessing to follow that. Back in our text in Mark chapter 11. So the direction of God is available. And so God, through his voice, establishes their way. This was not the disciples' idea. He gives them some instruction. They're going to go into the city. Second thing I want you to notice, number two, that when your way is God's way, you will receive heavenly authority in an earthly domain. You will receive heavenly authority in an earthly domain. He does it for them right here. He said, I like his instruction. Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt thereon where another man sat. Notice it here. Ask the owner's permission to take the donkey with you and bring him. It doesn't say that, does it? It just said, loose him. Loose him. Now, this is kind of bizarre. You think, well, now, wait a minute. That's not, okay, you want us to go into the city, and there's going to be a colt in a certain location. You said just loose him and start taking him like it belongs to us. By the way, this, you can't use this on black Boxing Day shopping. To go in the store, just take stuff. You know, God didn't direct you to do that, right? See, people try to do crazy stuff in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a personal, when you're in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God gives you direction. And the reason why, you know why I'm in Canada right now? Because God told me to come to Canada. And God gave me authority in an earthly domain to get here. He allowed me to get here. And he tells them here, he said, go ye, thank God they trusted the Lord. And verse 3, and if any man say unto you, why do ye this? If somebody gets in your way, I've got that handled too. He said, say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Now, if that had been you and me today, I'd have been like, well, what if they don't know the Lord? What if they don't respect you as Lord? But no, he said, no. He started saying, now, whose idea was it for you to go into the city? Well, the Lord would say, well, it was my idea. So whose instruction are you following? Well, you're following my instruction. Who's the Lord of all the earth? Jesus Christ is. So if I want you to, so whose authority are you going to go into the city based upon? Are you going based upon your authority, your name, your renown, or are you going to go into the city based upon the authority of the name that is above every single name? Now, people hear stuff like that, it makes them nervous if they don't know their Bible. But if you know your Bible and you have ever been led by the Spirit of God according to the Bible, you know that, well, that makes good sense. Why are you saved today? Because you have, well, if you're saved today, you're free from the bondage of sin, because by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive heavenly authority in this earthly domain. You don't have to sin like everybody else does. You don't have to live the same life like everybody else does. You can choose to, but you don't have to, because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That distinguishes us. That empowers us to actually live the life that Jesus wants us to have. So he tells them here, if anybody says to you, say the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send them hither. Because if you go and you trust in my authority, when anybody asks you and you tell them why you're doing what you're doing, they're going to let you do what I've commanded you to do. Because God wants you to know he's in control of this. God's in control of this. And let's read what they did. We read it, but it's good enough to read again. And they went their way, because their way was God's way, and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where the two ways met, and they loose him. They did exactly what he said. Why? Because they were dealing with the Lord. They weren't dealing with religion now. They knew by personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew God's voice. My sheep know my voice, right? So if you're saved, you've heard God's voice before. And as crazy as it was, everybody around you, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be saved from sin. You'd be saved from hell. You'd be saved from yourself. You'd be saved. Your sins would be put in remission. As crazy as that was, you know, because of what happened that day when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, there is a authority that governs your life to where you don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to, that sin that used to control you doesn't have to control you anymore. And that's good news, amen? That's a blessing. And so that same voice that you heard by the preaching of the Word of God worked in harmony, and you said, wow, this is what my Father wants me to do. This is what the Lord tells me to do. Lord, you know how strange that's going to look? He says, I know, but it's not your idea. It's my idea. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, don't you know nobody wants to hear the gospel? Don't you know that we live in a world where everybody wants to go their own way and do their own thing? He said, yeah, I know. But if you go, because it's my idea, you will have heavenly authority in the earthly domain to preach my name. Jeremiah, hold your place here. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Isaiah, pardon me, Jeremiah chapter 1. This is good. This is good. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Lord, I'm not qualified to do what you want me to do. I can't do this. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee. You think God knew that he had heavenly authority in earthly domain? you think God knew that if he sent somebody based on his authority, that they could go anywhere, do anything, and walk the walk that he wanted them to walk? Of course he did. He knows himself. He knows there's none like him. You know, but Jeremiah, the reason he was able to be used, he didn't think it was him. He knew it wasn't him. And he says, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. That's a challenge of life right there. A lot of times we want to say what we want to say, right? God said, no, you say what I want you to say. You speak what I want you to speak. And it's amazing what will happen when you speak what God wants you to speak. And it says, verse 8, be not afraid of their faces. What is he saying? You mean everybody doesn't glowingly respond to servants of God? Oh, thank you for your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that happen to you everywhere you go, brother? Or try to stretch, attract somebody and look at you like like you trying to hand them the plague or something? The group of their entourage out there, I gave them all gospel tracts where I came in, and that's what I saw Cheryl out there. And one of them come and said, thank you very much. The boys one said, oh, no, I want that. You know? But be not afraid of their faces. Why? Why? He said, well, for I am with thee. What does that mean? Well, if your way began with God, that you heard his voice, there's nothing like hearing the voice of God. The day I got saved, I mean, I still, I think of all the times that God tried to call me into salvation, and I said no. I wanted the Lord to know, can I just be saved and not confess? And can I just be saved? And Lord, I don't want everybody to know that I'm not really saved. Lord, is not some way I can just kind of slip in the back door, you know, and just, he said, but Lord, because Lord, you've established an image to me. Lord, you've given me a reputation, you know. Lord, you know what people are going to think about me because they all think I'm saved, you know, and I've already surrendered to preach. And this pastor of this large church and has given me his recommendation to go to Bible college. And now I know I'm not saved. Lord, is there some way I can come to you without being embarrassed? You know what God said? He just said, you know, God didn't address any of that. He just said, come. Woo! He just said, come. And thank God he did. Amen. And I tell you, that Wednesday morning, when I was driving on the interstate, petrified, thinking I'm going to die through a freak accident, the Spirit of God just said, come. You know you're not. Just come. Why are you fighting? I turned that car around, and it's like, when I got off my knees, Brother Bastion said, I know Brother Bastion, but the Lord said, you're home, son. It was just, thank God for the voice of God. Did I read all this? Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver. That's why it's so important to have a prayer life, to be in communion with God and to walk with God. Say to the Lord, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. God's given them heavenly authority and earthly domain. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. We don't root out enough in our lives. That's why there's not much building and planting. There's some things any given week that many of us ought to just root out and pull and just destroy them. You know, I was thinking about what's just been heavy in my mind because this revival, when we have Brother Wheeler here, I don't want it to be the last one, but I want it to be the lasting one. Because those things that you rooted out, if you don't plant something, build something in place, it's just going to be harder for you the next time. You know, and God will still have to be merciful. He'll deliver you, but you want to, why go through it again? Those things that God rooted out, allow the Spirit of God to build something in that place and to plant something. And don't let any trace of those things remain by the grace of God. And he says, and moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, what seest thou? And he said, I see a rod and almond tree. And then he begins to give more direction. Back in our text here, so we see two things. When your way is God's way, number one, you will receive direction from the voice of God. You'll have heavenly authority and earthly domain. Came to mind when Lara was uncontrolled as a child after Sunday school. I even believe this sweet little girl used to be a rebel here. and she just was screaming, caterwauling, just making noise. And my wife just laid hands on her and said, please, Satan. Please, Jesus, don't let Satan have my baby. Please, Jesus, don't let Satan have my baby. And she went limp in her arms. And she became controllable. Why? Because she had heavenly authority as a mother in an earthly domain. Number three, you'll find that Jesus has made physical preparation for your spiritual responsibilities. You will find that Jesus has made physical preparation for your earthly responsibilities. You know what happens here? Oh, I should turn there. Back in the text now, he told them to go. Now, they're going to go into a city. And he tells them, when you go into the city, now, remember, their way is God's way. He's given them his will, direction for them. And his physical preparation is that you're going to go into the city. You know what you're going to see? You're going to find a colt tied. And go your way, looking at verse 2 of Mark 11. Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. You're going to find a colt, but nobody's ever sat on it before. Now, they're going to know this. And God sent them his will. He said, they couldn't see inside the city. They couldn't see the city from where they're at, but Jesus could. They couldn't see what they needed to complete the will of God, but Jesus could see it. And so Jesus sent them with very clear and distinct instructions. And he said, they're going to be cold. Nobody's ever sat on it. You're going to go, just go loose him. And you bring him back to me. And you know what? You know what happened when they went into the city? They found out there was a colt there that nobody ever sat on. Just like Jesus said. And they found out that for the will that Jesus had for his disciples in that city, although they couldn't see it, they couldn't touch it, they didn't even know the owner, right? He had made physical preparation for the spiritual responsibility he'd given them. He'd given them his will, and he knew. What if they went there and there wasn't a colt there? Well, how are we going to do the will of God? Well, he sent them, so he put the colt there. There are things that God instructs you and I to do, and he's already made physical preparation for it. We can't see it. We don't understand it. We don't even know how it's going to take place. And we don't know who's in, we don't even understand who's in control of all those things sometimes. But we just believe the Lord. If God told us to do it, and it requires something physically, he will do it. Because you think about this, and this catch on about this passage. What if God did not expect him to go find one and buy one and purchase one? You know, I was thinking when I was, you know, many people run from God, run from the love of God, you know, and because people want something, people don't understand. I may have said this before, but, you know, many people run from the love of God because the love of God is the one thing. It's probably the other thing, but they know that it's something that they can't do without him. And it makes people afraid. That's why when you're good to people and you bless people and they run from you and all you've done is bless them, they know they can't give that in return because they don't have God. And they can't conceive that they keep thinking, there must be a catch. Why are you really doing this? I mean, I don't understand this. And it makes them afraid. And because they know that's not in them. And it terrifies people sometimes. But God sent them on a journey to do something without the resources to get it done. And he said the resources will be there waiting on you. You just trust the authority of my word and go, and the resources will be there when you get there. He said, you go, and did he say donkey? The colt. The colt will be there when you get there. Amen. So if God tells you to do something you don't physically see how it's going to do, just go back. Number one. Did your direction come from the Lord? Did it come from the Lord? Did it come from man? Did it come from religion? Weigh those things. Try the Spirit. See whether it be of God. Once you've confirmed the reality that that voice is from God, understand that you've got the authority to do the will of God because it was God's idea, not your own. You know, anybody that's saved, you ever wake up and not feel saved? I mean, you know you're saved, but you don't really feel that way, but your salvation is not based on how you feel, is it? It's based on what he said. And in that moment when you don't feel it, the Spirit of God, that earnest, says, yes, you're mine. It confirms it. And so it's based on the authority of what he said. You're resting in what God has said. And when you go, you will find that Jesus has made physical preparation for your spiritual responsibility. And last of all, and the best of all, you will find that you will give Jesus exactly what he asked for. When your way is God's way, you will find that you will give Jesus exactly what he asked for. He asked them to bring him the colt. They listened to his voice. They followed his direction. And they were able to bring back to Jesus exactly what he asked for. That's almost too simple to be believable, isn't it? But that's how it is. He requires stewards of man be found what? Faithful. If you hear his voice and you obey his voice, the things that though the God takes care of the earthly problems because you're doing his will. He moves those things out of the way. You trust him because his direction is based on your authority, on his authority. And you believe that and you trust it. And all of a sudden you think, wow. You get in the middle of this and, wow, went to the city. Well, yes. The disciples, man, they probably talk on the way. And now does he know how many colts probably in that city? And I mean, we've been to cities all the time. Sometimes there's not colts there. And we're going to go into this city and just by happenstance, we're going to go in and most people don't bring colts. Well, maybe they're going to bring one to sell, but there's going to be a colt right there as soon as we enter in that nobody's ever sat upon. And based on, and this man that people have mocked said, is not this the carpenter's son? We know never man spake like this man, but he wants us to go into a city and we're gonna grab a colt. And he said, just go. Once you see the colt, you'll know that I was telling you the truth. And don't worry about the owner of the colt. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about who it belongs to. Just go loose the thing and come back to see me. Woo! And he said, now, and by the way, he said, I know what you're thinking. Just in case somebody tries to stop you. Just in case somebody gets in and says, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord sent me. I never forget, I was preaching on the street down here one day and a few years ago and talking to God. And he came and he said, what authority do you have to be here? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no higher authority, amen. He said, okay. Woo! God is good, amen. So, but God wants our ways to match his way. But getting back to the first message, if you're the servant that's reigning, this is a far-fetched idea for you. And it is for me sometimes. But if I just stop my life long enough to say, you know what? I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to get into his presence. I'm going to pray, going to read the word. And I'm going to let him talk to me. Instead of just letting my conversation completely direct the relationship. Now, God wants to cry out to him and talk to him. But we really need to hear from him. That's why you read the word, whatever it takes to get into the word of God. And stop and pray. You know, I was reading through a passage, I read through something, I couldn't figure out what he was saying. It wasn't even a basic passage, but my mind was in thought. So I just put out a sheet of paper, and I took a pen, and I read the first sentence. I wrote down what he was saying. I read the second sentence, what he was saying. And the third one did the same thing. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the passage opened up. Because I had to slow down my thinking so I could just focus long enough to hear what thus saith the Lord. And after that, I had a great prayer time with God. But as long as I'm just skimming through, Lord, I know this is the inerrant, infallible word of God, but I'm just trying to get through this so I can move on with what I do next. this is the word of God. We heard this, every word is pure. And he didn't say that because it sounded good. He said that because it's true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus said, my words will not pass away. And I was witnessing last night, and again, the same thing I've said for years. And I said, well, how do you know this true? That book you have versus other. I said, well, it's just the burn. There's a burn. I said, even when I was lost, when I heard things in the Bible that I didn't even agree with, it burned. It moved me in a way into where I knew that even though I didn't like it, even though I didn't agree with it, I knew that it was something different than any other philosophy, anything else I heard. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So he gave us a living book so we know the reality that he lives. We can surmise this to say that when your way is God's way, you'll do anything God wants you to do. And you'll do everything God wants you to do. But if your way is not his way, you won't do anything he wants you to do. You do some, but you know, partial obedience really is complete disobedience. Saul found that out. Didn't read the story, but he said, you know, won the battle. beat down the Amalekites, but he spared Agag and the sheep. And he said, Lord, I won. I got victory over the people I want to have victory over, but I just want to keep a few things around that they have, because I like that, you know. Isn't that how God's people do? Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If you're saved, do you have Jesus in you? So that means if you're saved, you've overcome the world, right? But no, we like to do, we overcome the world, but we just, well, Lord, can I just hang on to a few things in this world just for me? Like Agag. I'm going to use it for you now, mind you. But no, don't love the world. Let God. And see, there again, can I say something? That's one of the things right there. When I didn't want Christ to have all of me, those verses bothered me. But once I let God have all of me, those verses encourage me. Because why would I want anything but him? And those verses are a heartbreak because of the times in my life personally when I look in the mirror and I know that I still want both. But oh, when I'm in fellowship with him, I say, Lord, why in the world would I want anything that the world has to offer? Why would I even think for a moment that I need the best of the sheep, or the best of the oxen, or the best the world has to offer when I have you? I had to repent this week. I said, Lord, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I said, I'm sorry for not accepting the reality that your portion is enough for me. Because the Bible says, Lord is a portion of our inheritance. Lord, forgive me for having my eyes on that I need something else in this life, you know. I wanted to preach, but God, it was a message God just gave for me. He said, and this was a message. He said, God is real, so what's your excuse? that's a good message. You know? There's no excuse. God is real, so what's your excuse for what? Nothing, amen. But may God help us all. God loves everybody in this room. And he wants your way to be his way. And as you rest in him, as you trust in his power and his authority to comfort you, to strengthen you, encourage you, you will find out that there's none like him. And you will find that you'll walk through some situations in life. There'll be some valleys you go through. But in those valleys, you will find out that when you thought you couldn't make it, well, I made it. Why? Because God was there. He just wanted to see if you would lean on him enough to get you through. Well, the first time when I broke my ankle playing football, you know, that I couldn't walk. I couldn't even limp on it. And my teammates, I just scored. And so the team came and picked me up and carried me over to the side. And they recognized I couldn't walk, so they just carried me. Sometimes you have an injury and they can tell you, God can tell you can limp along the way through, and you can make it. He's still there with you, but he watches. And if you can't walk, then finally he just says, well, I'll just carry you. He wants to carry you. And I found a man. I thought I was heavy. These guys just, these big linebackers just lift me up in the air. And I found out how strong God is by some difficulties in my life. But you know what? I thank God that I was just the times when I've been in his presence and he said, I got something I need you to do for me. It's not going to make much sense to you. And I want you to go, and there are some things that I need you to do that are under the power and the authority of people in this world. But I want you to know that my word trumps their word every single time. So I want you to go in my name, loose those coats, and they since they don't know you, and they may not even know me, but when they hear of the authority, they will stop. They will let you do what I want you to do because he said, I'm on the throne. And then he said, you'll go forward and you'll find out that, you know what? I've made physical preparation for your spiritual responsibilities. You know, you really, I know we live in one of the most expensive cities in the world. But you really don't have to work yourself to an early grave if your way is his way. But a lot of times we do, a lot of times the reason we do work ourselves to early grave, and this happens all over the world, by the way, is because we say, God, would you bless my choice? And this is how we want it. We say, well, Lord, just give me strength to keep doing it. Give me strength to keep doing it. And God's merciful. And instead of stopping and saying, Lord, is this your way or is this my way? And then you might be amazed what you find God allowing you to do. God rewarded the faith that I had in those years when I was willing to work those 80, 90 hours a week to give me liberty to raise my children, to be at home, to take care of them. But I had to let go and let God do it. God did that. And when my way became his way, and even back in those days, I've told stories before how times with nothing jobs God provided, and times when God said, you need to stay home, take care of your family, and I did it, and God provided, and other things too. And why? Because when my way is his way, he made physical preparation for my spiritual responsibilities. Which was, the spiritual responsibility is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy might. If we love him, keep his commandments, the Bible says. And the greatest thing of all, within this room, every saved person here today has the potential. Well, you have the ability, because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All you got to do is let his way be your way and let your way be his way. And you'll be amazed at, you know, I don't know how it's all going to pan out. We know there'll be no new scripture written. But there'll be some praise by our Savior. Just hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. Be thy rule over many. That's amazing. Can you imagine? The same voice that called you unto eternal life will look upon you and when all... And see, once you stand before him and I stand before him, all that lust and love for the world, all that corruption that pulls on our hearts and tugs us to be gone, we'll be so enamored with his presence. We won't even believe that this God of such magnitude that we look upon is even going to speak to us because of the glory of that he really is. And then by the grace of God, somehow, some way, he says, well done. And as we look at him compared to us, and we're thinking, how could he say that we could, as we see him, that we actually did anything at all good? That's why those, when we have those crowns, they'll cast him at his feet and say, I can't believe you even thought that I did anything good. Because, I mean, if Moses came from the backside of the desert and just the backside of the mountain or the mountain and just saw his back parts and they couldn't stand to look at him. Imagine. How when once we see him, and then he says, because of being his way being our way, well done. It would almost be like I hear my kids say, are you serious? In fact, I don't even think we'd be able to get that out. We'd be like, I don't believe this. But it's available for every single believer. Because Jeremiah wasn't the only one that God made in the belly. And that knew before he's formed in the womb. You know, God knows what's in your tomorrow. That's why he's told you to take no thought for tomorrow. But he knows if you think about tomorrow, you won't make it through today. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. For things of the marsh take the thought of themselves. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If he asks us to pray for daily bread, do you think we have today enough strength to get through tomorrow? If he asks, do we think we have enough faith today to get through tomorrow? No, we don't. He'll give it to us when we get there. He said, pray for daily bread. So, God did some disciples in this room. Well, everybody. God wants everybody to be disciples in this room. Followers of Christ. And he says, you know what? I've got a way that I'd like you to glorify me. And it's going to demand you to follow my word. It's going to demand you to exercise my faith within this world. I sent a text out to my son this week. Sam, I said, if you don't use the power, how to, I think I say, if you don't use the power of Christ to control your world, the world will control you. And that's true. Because he's made us more than, we're conquerors, right? We're more than conquerors. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about some crazy stuff we do for our name, but I'm talking for his name. Can you imagine the disciples? I don't have any money. They don't know me. I'm not going. I just don't. And the only reason they wouldn't have gone, they just didn't believe in the word of the Lord. So do you trust God's word today? If you do, go loose the colt. Just go loose the colt and bring him back to the Savior. There's something that God wants you to do for his name's sake. This could demand you just to trust his word and to follow his instructions. But your way must be his way. Because if your way is your way, you're going to go and you'll be trying to see, well, he wants a colt. How much money do I have? Hey, let's pull together, see how many resources we can get to go buy a colt. Unless, well, we got to find the right person to find out first. Now we got to find a colt that nobody rode upon. And we got to make sure we even go into the right city. Are we sure there are colts in the city? All these unanswered questions, you know. Well, you said go, I'll take care of this. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, you want to help your children today. I thank you for bringing every single one of them here today. Lord, I just pray that everyone that knows your name would trust you completely. And Father, those, if there be any here that are not saved today, Father, I pray they'll realize how powerful you are and how that when you came and robed yourself in flesh and died for their sins, there'll never be another sacrifice like that. And I pray that they would turn from themselves and believe on Christ today. Father, would you help this room be filled with the disciples? Father, would you help us to go according to your instructions and just to trust you, believing that we can do for you that which you want us to. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask all these things.